Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
You know what he did? He fucking used the word premeditated. It's premeditated, Todd.
That's premeditated.
Cops love to say that. Attorneys, I think some attorneys only go to law school so they can drop. It was premeditated.
That means you didn't only just meditate it. You thought about it before you meditated it. You did some premeditate.
Yeah. It's hard to convince a jury that you didn't premeditate when it's premeditated.
Mm-hmm. So you know, they use it in murder, right? Premeditated murder. Really, that's the only one. You never hear like premeditated burglary.
Yeah, like, that's always has to be. You can't just accidentally fall into a house and say, fuck it, and I'll take some stuff.
What if I'm just strolling around, right? Through a neighborhood, just walking my dog, and then I see an open door to a house. Looks like nobody's home. Mm-hmm. I tie my dog up. I walk in. I'm like, hello, is everybody okay? Your door is open. Sound dog effect in barking. Play. The dog's barking behind me. Like, what are you doing, Dad? Dad, that's not your house. It's not our house. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know, dog. I'm just trying to see if everyone's okay. And I get in there and I'm like, oh, they got a lot of nice stuff. It appears that no one's home. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's a Rolex watch just laying out on the counter. And then I take that and I leave with it. I just committed a burglary, but I didn't premeditate it. I didn't go into that neighborhood thinking I wasn't premeditated. Like I'm going to do a burglary at one of these houses or this particular house. Yeah. I just happened into the burglary and decided to make it happen. I think, is there a difference? No. Why is there a difference with murder?
I mean, listen, I didn't want to take the role. If the Rolex was right there, what am I not going to do? Not take it? You could say this is a class two, but this ain't a class three or whatever.
Let me ask you this. On a serious note, let's say your brother, someone you love, or my sister gets, God forbid, gets murdered.
God forbid.
Right? And the way they got murdered was they were strolling down a dark alleyway and a person saw them and thought, oh, I'm going to rob them. It gets out of control. They end up murdering our sibling. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference in your mind if that person went out that night thinking, I'm going to murder Sean or Todd's sibling tonight? Do you really care?
Yeah, because I do. And I'll tell you why. Think about that. Like, think about the fact, like, how many times have you been pissed off and you wanted to go fuck some people up or fuck somebody up, right? Like, I've done it. I've thought about it a lot. There's been a lot of times where I've been like, man, I want to go fuck that dude up right now. Dude, what am I doing? I should go fuck this guy up. But I never did it. Like, I never went and did it, right?
Right.
So I think we're talking about a deeper, more hardened, legitimate, committed criminal when they're planning out shit and executing. You know what I mean? Like a fucking goal, like a goal setter, like you know, out here doing positive reinforcement thinking as far as their actions becoming, you know, their thoughts becoming words, becoming action.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, pop, 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 he has rope and fucking cement and he has the chains and the bats ready to go.
All right,
that's a shittier person.
Let's take it to a different setting. Let's say I get somebody pregnant, right? I'm a young man. I'm 21 years old. I got a year left in college, let's say. Mm-hmm. And my plan is to be a doctor. I'm going to go to med school because I'm a straight-A student. And I'm going to go to Johns Hopkins for medical school after that. And I get a young woman pregnant, okay? Mm-hmm. Didn't plan on it.
Lucky by the way.
Lucky her. Maybe. We were making out in my dorm room. Things get out of control. I don't have a condom with me. I don't want to stop them. I get her pregnant. 9 months later, I'm a dad. Now, I didn't premeditate being a dad. I didn't go in there thinking, man, I'm gonna put a baby up in this woman.
I like this angle. I like this angle.
I'm a dad though. Now, am I less of a dad because I just got caught up in the moment and did everything that requires you to become a dad? Or am I the same dad as I would have been if I'd have said, hey, you know what's gonna happen tonight? I'm getting you pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's any difference. Oh. You're just a dad. So if you're a murderer, you're a murderer, I say.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, I don't know what, is there a sentencing difference? Is there a much larger part? There's a lot. I think, I mean, I know.
Maybe your child support's less.
Okay. So
you mean in the murder. I thought you meant in the dad, sentencing of being a dad.
Yeah. Yeah. That, see, again, right there, that's where it would come into play. If it will, you know, listen, if we made a plan to have this baby and then things didn't work out, I'll pay more because I had already planned to pay for this baby.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't plan for this baby,
the baby now, just happened.
And now it just happened. Maybe I, and then this is a fucked up angle. I'm going to be honest. Because you should be paying. I'm just weighing in on both sides. I'm not saying that either one of these ways is the way.
I don't. Yeah, me either.
Is there a difference? But I'm just saying, in general, if you tried to implement a premeditation situation in the child care occasion, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's an equation. It's just a fucking equation. It's in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Premeditated is premeditated. It wasn't a word. I don't think that was invented for murder necessarily, but it's the only thing that it applies to. Yeah. Maybe we should start applying it to other things. I don't know. Maybe there is different levels of seriousness and culpability and responsibility. I don't know. Maybe. Damn. I don't know.
The thought, and it's basically nothing more than the thought and plan and motion before having to encounter said situation.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what is this? Fucking change this podcast to the psychological categories of the iTunes and Spotify. We're in the wrong. That's the problem.
You're right.
Listen, we got a great fan base, but we haven't blown up like Joe Rogan because we're in the wrong goddamn bracket.
We should be in the psychology genre.
In
do
the
they
psychology.
Even have
one? I mean, in the crimes and psych. Look at that. That's papers.
I have paper. Well, we have paper out right now writing things down. That's a psychology podcast for you. I'm going to write down premeditation.
That's notes being taken.
I mean, we're taking notes. We're taking
listen to these
seriously.
Notes. Tell me my notes.
Okay.
Tell me if you could tell me what I'm writing.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready. I think right now you're writing, get on Audio Boom, change category from comedy to psychology.
That's fucking exactly what I was writing.
I can tell because of the pH.
Listen here. Listen, it's very clear. When I write the word psychology, you can tell. Listen.
I also spelled psychology wrong. But you did too on accident because you were in a hurry. And I detected that.
Here it goes. Here's me writing psychology. I'm pretty sure I'm 100% wrong. I spelled that wrong, but listen. It's neither here nor there. Everybody can hear I spelled it wrong. That's why I have to come clean.
Right.
People know when, I mean, listen, tell me what I'm writing. Tell me this word.
Okay.
That's four words.
Four words?
Go for it. I'll tell you if you're right. I'm going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Okay. You wrote, my taint.
You're good.
Is shaved.
Wild.
Is that what you wrote?
That's exactly what I wrote.
Oh my God.
Look at that, dude.
What?
I'm telling you, you got a fucking ear for it, man. Mm. Look, you could have been even a higher. You could have been your own section. They could have, policemen could have been recording people taking notes and shit when they know the house is bugged. And then you could have put the headset on and you could have been, oh, he's writing her a note. And it says, okay, I'll meet you at the dock. Bring the money. We'll have 25 keys. Like, you'll be able to hear them when they're writing that.
Oh, well, they used to call me in on wiretap cases specifically to listen for when people would write notes down while they were talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd be like, okay, hang on a second. I got to write something down. And then they would be like, oh, get over here, get over here. Get on this line, get on this line. And I would switch to that line and I would listen. I'm like, oh, he's writing a bank robbery note right now.
Yeah.
They're going to rob a bank tomorrow. He's premeditating his bank robbery right now.
I'm sorry. This is not a man. No, we're not going to give a manslaughter on the second degree. This was premeditated, Stevens.
Premeditated, Your Honor. This wasn't meditated.
Your Honor, I move to strike the prosecutor, the defense. Your Honor, I refuse. I move to strike the defense's accusation that this is nothing more than a manslaughter. I want to ring him up on, and I would say that too in a court. I would be slang.
You know,
I want to ring
weird?
Him up on premeditated. Give me a class two, whatever the fuck it is.
You know what's weird too? Manslaughter is a lesser crime, right? Lesser sentence. Yeah, yeah. But it sounds way worse than murder.
If like, you slaughtered a dude?
Manslaughter. It should be the opposite. Your Honor, he didn't just murder this victim. He manslaughtered this victim. He cut him up into little pieces, hung him from a hook, gutted him, and then fried him like he was bacon. He manslaughtered him. Like, that sounds like Jeffrey Dahmer murder.
And it does. I mean, look, the word slaughter, of all fucking words to use when it comes to, I mean, listen, there's obviously the one of the greatest generals of all time, Sergeant Slaughter. Okay, let's just fucking get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter was the fucking
thank
king
you for
of
your
all,
service.
Yeah, G.I. Joe kings.
Yes.
All right, then we have just like whenever you say we slaughtered them, then it was a minimum 10 to 1 to 12 to 2 game score in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about next level shredding here. Fucking meat in the grinder for ground beef.
Yeah. I mean, this is like
slaughtered
Fargo shit. This is like, I mean, evil genius shit. Like, this is way above. How is it letting, like, did he murder him? No, he just slaughtered him.
We're good. No, oh, it's first
God.
Degree.
Whew, thank God. I thought he murdered him.
Oh,
he only slaughtered him.
Oh, so he's still alive. I mean, if you ask me, it's almost easier. You should be a lighter sentence if you kill somebody. At least they're out of their misery. And they're not just like this puddle of slaughtered flesh that still has to live.
Right. I mean, it makes you sound like you went to the extra level to get a ninja sword, a katana blade, and just dismember me right there in the living room. Like, first of all, why did you bring a katana sword here?
Yeah. I mean, got it home, bro. That's an expensive piece of metal, my man.
You can't do regular murders? You gotta slaughter people with katana blades?
You're walking around with a fucking, what's your favorite show? What are you watching? What's making you carry this around?
Are you watching only the movies on Netflix that were recommended after watching The Last Samurai?
By the way, wild coincidence that a white dude was the last samurai. That's a fucking stretch of a script.
Oh, I never even thought about that, dude. I mean, you talk about tainting history. I mean, but white people are fucked up anyway. Now we're trying to claim the samurai. Who was the last samurai? Oh, the Tom whitest Cruise, of all the white people?
Tom goddamn Cruise. The guy that was a hero pilot for the United States Air Force.
Yeah, spokesman for Scientology. That too.
The most charismatic American bartender in the 80s. And I'd say all the way up until now. I don't know a better bartender than Tom Cruise in Cocktail.
There's never been a better bartender. He was the last bartender, in my opinion.
That was it.
Maybe he should have stuck with that. You know what? Last fighter pilot, last bartender, not last samurai. That's a different people.
Don't even get me involved in Mission Impossible. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
I'm just saying, this guy's so American that he...
He's Jack Reacher.
For America to hijack thousands of Japanese, you know, generations of Japanese culture to say that the final one is Tom Cruise is absolute fucking bonkers.
This is it. This is the last straw. The Last Samurai was my last straw. I am out on white people. We're trying to own everything.
Stop it, white people.
Trying to fucking redesign history.
I mean, do you know how hardcore and how serious and how much it means to the Japanese culture, the Japanese people. I mean, of all cultures to just hijack, even that, like that's, I don't know a, what other culture to this day is so down for their fucking country and their culture that they'll shove a sword through their heart due to a disrespectful situation that they brought someone shamed, like ashamed of their family.
I brought dishonor to my family. And then they get on their knees and just
right in the belly while everybody watches, because they're so gangster and they're so true to their word and the belief in their culture and the fucking honor and the soul of their culture that they, if I disrespect the family, I have to go.
And now we're disrespecting every, the last samurai.
Of all the, there's what, how many cultures are there? Oh. A million? I don't know. Like there's got to be at least 150 cultures.
Sean, it gets worse. You know what else we did?
What else?
The last Mohican. White
he
dude.
Was white dude.
Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, almost whiter than Tom Cruise. God. Oh, man, dude. I'm so sorry. That's Native right, Americans, bro. I am so sorry.
I accepted Japan sorry for whatever reason.
I mean, I'm sorry to you, Sean. I'm sorry to everybody that of color. Like, what are we doing? Like, clearly he was not the last Mohican. He wasn't even truly Mohican.
You know who never gets no respect? The second to the last of the Mohicans. That guy had never been heard of. That fucking guy.
And he was a real Mohican.
He was a fucking real. He was the actual last Mohican. But because his buddy hung out for enough of years, he wasn't even. You're Daniel Day-Lewis, man. I'm a big fan, but Jesus Christ, you're not the last Mohican.
Your dad just took care of him because he found him in the woods, abandoned after his family was dead, and raised him as if he was one of your own. But he's not one of your own. And you don't even get to be the last Mohican. The white dude that was found in the woods as a baby gets to be the last Mohican? God damn it!
I mean, is this even worse than the fucking Tom Cruise hijacking Japan? No, that's definitely the worst. But Daniel Day-Lewis being the last Mohicans, god damn it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, bro. I wish I could start knocking on some doors in Hollywood. I want people, you know what? I don't care where you live in the hills, okay? I don't care how many twists and turns you have to take in your fucking vintage Porsche, okay? The same one that old, that Dylan drove in 90210, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I'll drive up there. I'll walk up there. I'm coming into Hollywood. I'm going to knock on, and I don't want your assistants to answer, okay? I don't want your fucking brother-in-law to answer, or your helpers, or your trainer. I want you to answer, and I want answers. Okay,
that's real answers.
When you answer the door, be ready with answers. That's why they say answer the door, because whilst behind that door are some serious questions about some serious projects.
You've got to be ready to answer. I mean, you already answered. You answered the door. Now you'll answer my questions. God,
listen.
If we don't win an Emmy for this, for correcting,
I'm gonna say
the
this
situation.
Though. I'm gonna say this. I'm doing this mildly in the defense of white people here, but I will say this: it's not just the white people. I mean, look, who's the dude that played fucking Richie in La Bamba?
Oh, Lou Diamond Phillips.
He's Filipino.
Is that right?
I bet you my good eye, Jared. Hit it.
Oh, Jared.
Lou Diamond
look
Phillips.
Up the nationality
friends,
of Lou Diamond Phillips.
And the reason I know this is I have some friends in, like, I know, well, I don't know exactly how
to do it. He also played Chavez in Young Guns.
Yep. Mike, shout out to my guy, Carlos Loma, comedian, hilarious comedian in LA. The Mexican homie. So funny, bro. He has a joke about fucking Lou Diamond. I feel like it's been so many years since I heard the bit, but he has a joke about Lou Diamond Phillips being Filipino. And that's why I know that fact.
Mm.
This kid is so funny, dude. On stage, he crushes, but.
Lou Diamond Phillips is Filipino, Scotch, Irish, Cherokee, Spanish, and Chinese American.
Oh, everything but Mexican, which is why he plays most of the time.
But mostly Filipino.
Which that's Phillips is short for.
Exactly. That's why Lou Diamond Phillips, Filipino.
Yeah, it's short for Lou Diamond Filipino.
A lot of people who moved to San Fernando Valley in the early 60s, in the early 50s, they were Filipino, and the government of the San Fernando Valley, which is in Los Angeles, if you know about Brody Stevens, you know about the San Fernando Valley, okay? They cut off the Enos off of Filipinos, and that's why Lou Diamond Phillips is Lou Diamond Phillips and not Lou Diamond Filipinos.
Yes, that's exactly
Filipino,
right.
No S, it's not plural.
And the guy made a career, nothing against Lou Diamond, he's very talented, but I'm just saying, he made a career basically playing these great Hispanic characters like Chavez and Young Guns in the whole series. I think he did three as Chavez.
You know what's even crazier? Screech played a black dude one time in a film, and that was wild.
Yes, and it almost ruined Roots for me. The reboot. Nobody saw it. It went straight to DVD, but it was Roots 2.
They only sold it bootleg in the fucking L.A. markets down by Santee Alley.
It was Roots 2.
Shout out Santee Alley, bro. If you know, you know, kid. Santee Alley. Get the corn and the hot dog.
Screech and I have been playing Toby in that. And it was almost as insulting as Tom Cruise being the last samurai.
I'm going to go with Screech being the lead role in Roots. Definitely worse than fucking. That's definitely worse.
It is definitely worse. And I'm surprised it didn't happen because of all these other atrocities.
Also, R.I.P. Screech, bro.
R.I.P.
Good run, homie.
Dustin Diamond.
Dude, you know you're going
to
be.
No relation to Lou Diamond Phillips.
No relation. That's not Lou Diamond Filipino. Okay, honestly, you know when you have a name like Dustin Diamond, it's fucking showtime.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Okay.
It is showtime, friends.
I mean, first of all, you should be doing porn. How were your parents letting you take that stage name when you were 6 years old?
I don't know if he was going to be able to pull that off. I'm not sure he had the qualifications for that genre. But, you know, when you, it's like NFL quarterbacks. You tell me. I'll sit here and wait till the cows come home. You tell me, Todd McComas, one quarterback name that isn't fucking awesome. It's because they're born for greatness, friend. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Warren Moon, fucking Joe Montana.
Bernie Kosar.
Brett Favre. Alex Smith. That's the other side. There's so many good. Randall Cunningham.
Warren Moon.
Donovan McNabb.
Oh, my God.
There is no such thing as a great quarterback. Doug Flutie. John Elway. Mitchell Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky. I mean, listen, phonetically, these names, it's just the way it has to be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you can't be that level of swagger of a human. All bullshit aside, there has to be a connection, right?
With the name?
With like growing up with the right phonetically said name, with the certain syllable combinations, with a certain phonetic of a name. Obviously teamed up to people that are, you know, somewhat athletic. You can't just fucking have a cool name and then end up being athletic.
I don't know. Maybe if they would have had a fucked up name, they wouldn't have been so athletic. Because I feel like you have to live up to the cool sounding name in some aspect. If you have the perfect name, you almost always end up successful somehow.
Yeah. Dustin Diamond, dope name. The athleticism, nowhere near the fact that he's going to be fucking throwing footballs for the New Orleans Saints. But guess what? He can be the most ultimately amazing nerd in the history of sitcoms for at least 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously I'm a stoner. And I don't keep a lot of random random old facts of bullshit in the shelves of my head. But I'll tell you right now, a guy named Dustin Diamond was meant to hit the top, even if it is a fucking weird little geek that could never get Lisa Turtle.
Oh yeah. Well, there you go.
Endearing though. Very endearing. He's a very endearing character. That's why people liked him. But he was still a fucking geek. But we still knew that he had a big heart, and we all felt sorry for him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know what? Fuck it, dude. And I'm almost going to applaud the fact that this guy went gangster on him after it. Now that we sit here and really break down this dude's situation, being named Dustin Diamond with the fucking curly hair. Now, look.
Right? Now, they did fuck him because you can't go from the role he was playing with the name Dustin Diamond and then become the next, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis or Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
You can't, like Dustin Diamond, no one's going to take you seriously with that unless you transition into porn.
You know why? Because he was too great. I'll tell you what I mean. Dustin Diamond was the best fucking actor for the position, for the character he played. He was so goddamn good. He was, I mean, he's Dustin Diamond, bro. He's so good that he plays a part so well that he can never play another part again.
He, what we needed was Screech to continue as a character in other films. Just one, you know what I mean? Kind of like Ernest. Ernest goes to jail. Ernest goes to camp. It should have been like, you know, Screech. Screech becomes a samurai. Screech saves New York.
And we would have grown with him. He would have grown out. Listen, I grew up with Mary-Kate and Ashley, kid. They were fucking going, dad, dad, or whatever. And I grew along with them. They could have went in any direction.
Yeah.
If they would have just given us a Screech storyline, okay? Give me a storyline with Screech and watch me run. Okay? We can fucking go right into an HBO Max-style show, Game of Thrones. Screech could have fucked around and end up as a White Walker or whatever. I mean, he could have been the Jon Snow, bro. He could have been Jon Snow.
But you just have to fit it like Screech has to be the main character now. So you got to reboot Game of Thrones. You got to take your whole script and strip it down. Like, nope, this ain't about a woman that can talk to dragons. It's not about White Walkers. It's not about, you know, defending the North, all this. It's about Screech. How can all these families and all these beings revolve around Screech? That's what you have to do. It's Screech of Thrones or Game of Screech or something. You know?
Yeah, Screech, True Detective. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, instead of Die Hard, it would have been Screech Saves Nakatomi Plaza or something, you know?
Just I mean, again.
Screech Hard. I don't know.
Guess what, dude? This is even better. I could take two stops in Hollywood. I can go fucking knock on the producers, their door. Listen, we need answers. Hollywood wastes. You know what you know what sucks nuts about this entertainment game? Now it's much easier to continue along because there's so much more work, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they just decide people's fate. Like, you fucking groom somebody, you get them bang, boom, bop, pop in. They're on their shit. They got their show is killing it. They let them plateau and then just kind of fall off unless they decided to give them something else.
Mm-hmm.
They never wanted to fucking let us transition to other stuff. Again, no. Hollywood, eat a bowl of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet came, Todd.
We can't reimagine that person as something else. I mean, it happens all the time.
I'm knocking on doors, Todd.
Child stars get fucked.
Guess who's here? Guess who this is? Listen, I want you to close your eyes and listen. Tell me who's there.
Is it opportunity?
No, it's me, Todd. I'm out there knocking on fucking doors. I'm looking at this wallpaper of the goddamn Last of the Mohicans poster with Daniel Day-Lewis, and I want to throw my MacBook out the window, Todd.
What other movies, are we missing any movies, Jared, that are the last something? We have The Last Samurai. We have The Last of the Mohicans. There has to be more like The Last Something, The Last Astronaut, The Last Cowboy. Something, and it'd be interesting to see.
Wars 8 is The Last Jedi.
See The Last Jedi.
Who played him though? Who's a Jedi and who did he pretend he was and who was he real life? That's what we need to know.
Yeah, The Last Jedi. Was it even really a Jedi? See, if it's not really a Jedi, if this is Tom Cruise again, I'm gonna be really pissed off.
By the way, have they told us how they break down the ranks of the Space Force? Like, is there a Navy SEAL level of Space Force that would basically be considered a Jedi?
Oh, that's a great question.
It's a good question by me.
And can I apply?
I also, Jared, can you do me a favor?
Yep.
Can you submit that question that I just asked as one of the top questions asked in podcast 2021? Can you submit that, please?
Yep, I'll get that to the Emmys.
To the podcast questions award committee?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy.
It looks like Luke Skywalker. I've never seen Star Wars, but... Okay, looks like it was Luke Skywalker.
At least they used a real Jedi. You know what I mean? They didn't bring in Tom Cruise or Daniel Day-Lewis or somebody else. Basically just those two movies. Thank God it stops at that. If they would have brought in like somebody that wasn't a Jedi and just claimed, oh, some white dude's the last Jedi, you know.
But they brought in, what if they brought in, they could have fucking brought in Lou Diamond Phillips.
Oh, God. If they
almost did it. From what I understand, they almost did it. I heard some stories.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Hollywood. I used to hang out in Hollywood, Todd. I hear the producers and the directors talking. You know, I'd be over a table listening, trying to get the intel.
They were going to really like stereotype it up too. It got shot down, thank goodness. But he was going, because again, he was going to play a Mexican Jedi, you know, because they won't let him play anything else, even though he's Filipino.
Where's Antonio Banderas from?
He's from, I want to say he's Spanish. I don't want to get that wrong, but he is Hispanic at least.
I don't know. Hispanic and Spanish, not the same, bro.
Hispanic and Spanish?
Or Spanish. He's Spanish.
Oh,
he's
Spanish from Spain. Isn't Hispanic?
Yep, there we go.
Where's the Spanish come from? Yeah, Spanish is definitely Hispanic.
Yeah. I think Hispanic encompasses more, right?
Yeah.
No, Spaniards, it's like bro. Latin. You guys are fucking thinking about Spain, bro.
Yeah, but
it's Hispanic South America?
Mexicans. Mexicans came from the fucking Mexican jungles, dude, down there.
We get that, but they're still Hispanic.
Add the Aztecs, kid. The Aztecs are Mexicans.
We get that.
Relating to Spain or Latin America. So, yeah, Spanish is Hispanic.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody just take it easy. I'm just testing you guys.
We're getting so sensitive. But anyway, Lou Diamond Phillips was going to play the Mexican Jedi. Uh-huh. And they were going to make him have a light switchblade instead of a lightsaber. And it got really out of control. His land speeder was like lowered. It's like, that doesn't even make any sense. There's no wheels.
Oh, shit. Dude, that's so funny you just said that, because one of my first good, quote unquote, good jokes was I used to talk about having, there was going to be NASA said there's going to be a Mexican astronaut. They're going to send their first Mexican astronaut into space, guys. Everybody clap, right? I'm like, that's exciting. We're going to finally have a spaceship sitting on gold rims with the Virgin Mary on the hood. Dude, that was one of my killers early, like my first year stand-up in like 01.
That's a good bit,
Mexican
though.
Astronaut. I pull out old notebooks and you'll see that the set list, Mexican Astro. Fucking cornball, dude.
You're lucky that never got stolen. That seems like something ripe for the picking for old Mencia.
It was gold. Yeah, that's fucking.
I love this Space Force question about the special forces, though. Like, what? There's got to be, you know, is there a Delta Force? Is there Navy SEALs? Are they Green Berets? Like, what?
They have to be training out there. That means they have to be out there training. Listen, Navy SEALs train in legitimate, you know, in legitimate scenarios. They're out there fucking killing themselves and bringing themselves back to life underwater off of the coast of wherever. You know, they're in real time environments. Mm-hmm. So you can't be Delta Space Force and not be able to be the guy that can fucking shoot the fire in any direction and fucking propel himself while you pull out a pistol that's anti-gravity or whatever the fuck, dude. You know what I mean?
Has anybody
shot a gun in space, by the way? What's working with bullets in that? How's that working?
There's that movie with Matthew McConaughey where he goes, I think it's Matthew McConaughey. He goes back to try to find his dad, Tommy Lee Jones, in space. And they have some kind of pistol guns that they're firing. And it made no sense to me. I'm like, how is this bullet traveling through? There's no gravity, bro. How's your bullet?
Well, the propulsion,
becoming
right?
Becoming a projectile. I guess rockets, yeah. Yeah, but so you just saying, need extra powerful propulsion. So it'd have to be like 20 times more powerful than a regular gun when it goes off.
Okay, listen. Right now, some of this is speculation on our part. Mm-hmm. But guess what?
We're still trying to figure it out.
We're dumping funding into research, okay?
Oh,
we are
trillions.
Dumping trillions
of dollars going into Space Force.
All of our ad rev that we get from this podcast, we dump it. Right into research. We're out there. We're fucking trial and error. We're working it out. We're going to find out, dude. And I'll tell you right now, they're talking about launching the first gay dude into space. And I'm like, well, if we're going to be doing first of stuff, let me be the first lazy eye, kid. Elon Musk, bro, fucking let your boy be the first lazy eye in space. Let me make my mark. I want to be in the books.
Let's go.
The space book, the history books. 1,000 years from now, the first, when they're all making fun of memes and shit, and they're all saying that when they first started going to space, they started to name the first gay dude, the first black dude, the first teacher, the first woman, the first man, you know, like the first fucking dude with one leg, the first dude that only had one arm, like Jamie Lannister, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One hand.
The guy without a dick.
Yeah, the dickless
dude. Whatever
his
name was.
The dickless dude that I don't remember his name, but he was always just some conniving ass, doing some conniving ass shit. You know, the first bald dude, the first guy, like, I'm going to be the first lazy eye guy.
I like it. Do you think they'll have police in space eventually? Like, that'll be, like, you're just stopping spacecraft for speeding and shit? Or they're going to start? That'll be the next thing. You got to get, they'll be like, oh, we got to get speed limit zones. We got to get, the, you know, let's do a toll here so we can make money off people that cross this beltway in the solar system.
I definitely
like that.
Think it's coming because, listen, if we already listen, first of all, Elon Musk is the fourth entity to ever take a program into space, right? So it's the U.S., Russia, China, Elon Musk, okay? Mm-hmm. And now we got commercial. Now there's a big, you know, big deal about commercial fucking space flight. A lot of people, you know, a lot of, obviously when it comes to that, it's going to be, again, draw a line drawn in the sand. These politicians are going to be okay. These ones are going to say, oh, no. So what's going to happen is, no matter what, we already got civilians fucking banging around in space. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it from a car spec perspective or whatever. And they started, when the Ford, Henry Ford is the only dude at the beginning. He was the Elon Musk of Earth. He drove around his fucking cars. People are like, what the fuck is that thing? They've been riding
horses. It's a motorized carriage.
And this dude's banging around in a car, right? He was the Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Now, guess what, though? Look at it now. That's the same thing that's going to happen to space. So, of course, we're all going to be in space with our own spaceships that we all buy from Toyota.
All okay. Trying to be the first of something.
Yep. And we're all going to be in space. There's guaranteed going to be people getting pulled over in space. And then there's going to be a lot of accidents, but at least they're just going to float away. We don't have to wait for the wrecker to come pick them up.
Yeah. I want to be the first
fucking float right away. The whole accident.
I want to be the first cop that tows a rocket for illegally parking on the moon or someplace, somebody's moon.
And, I love it, bro.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's going to be big floating platforms around Earth. So that's where we all park our shit at and kick it. Like, that's what's going to base. Cities are going to pop up in the gravitational rotation of the Earth. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have humongous fucking, you know, 4 million square foot platforms that get launched up in sections. They'll start off by building the first one. The first
with city. just big bubbles around them so you can create an atmosphere in there, like a fake atmosphere. So it looks like a city. Like, if you were to take a two-dimensional thing of New York and lift it up in the sky – and then put a fishbowl upside down on it. Yeah, snow globe. There are going to be a bunch of like snow globes just floating around.
A floating snow globe.
Yes.
Yeah. They're going to learn how to obviously build it piece by piece, you know, the glass tops, and then, you know, and then fucking suck it out like they do with airplanes and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
They'll build it while they float, you know, at 17,000 miles an hour around the planet. Honestly, I'm pulling all this out of my ass, but it's really sounding like it could really be a thing.
I think it will be a thing. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And then, like, your sewage, you just pump it out in space. Who gives a fuck, right? Just,
like, or maybe you just put it in, like, a bubble of some sort, and then you shoot it out. But see, here's, I mean.
But then somebody's going to run into it with their spaceship, and like, oh, what's that? I just exploded to a giant shit bubble.
Yeah, I just fucking drove right through a shit cloud. It's real shit. I think, but although the material is definitely better going that direction, I will say this. I think we'll have some sort of technology that just learns how to evaporate it all. We take a shit and it just fucking dips into thin air. It's goners.
Well, we could have services, you know, that, like these guys that hook up like tow trucks. They just come in and they hook up to the shit bubble and they just take it to Uranus, which is... all this shit.
That's the best dump. The dump planet.
So stupid.
And who fucking knew, right? Like, people are going to be sitting on Venus, smoking a cigar, looking over at Uranus, like, who fucking knew? Who knew that if Earthlings 2,000 years ago knew that we'd actually be sending all our shit to Uranus, they would die. They would have died sooner laughing, because the entire goddamn planet ain't nothing but a big fat ball of shit mess. Uranus.
You're welcome. I can't wait for it. I'm going to sign up for a space job if I'm still alive by then.
I'll just be like a crossing guard in space or something, just so I can peep it out for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, to see what's happening and shit. Real slow. We'll stop, sign, look around, let people by.
Yeah. I just, maybe we can get comedy gigs on the space shuttles that take you to the snow globe cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Well, there's going to be clubs. There's going to be clubs too on the snow globe cities. You could just.
I mean, listen, what? However big the moon is, I mean, think about the possibilities of fucking space cities.
Mm.
Look, we could have 50 moons easy. And those are the big ones. Like, what about the little buddies that are floating around?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like skating rinks, right? Like, everybody, it looks like there's a lot of people that have a lot of problems can happen. But when everybody, the inertia is happening, we're all in motion. The skating rink floor could be popping, dude. Mm-hmm. Wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder, fucking lookout weekend, here we come. You know what I mean? And then it keeps going. And fools are skating backwards, but we're all in the same fucking motion around the planet. Oh, man. Shoot the duck. If nobody Fuck knows you. What that means, then you don't know about fucking skating. So none of this.
Were you good? You know what I was good at? For some reason, I wasn't even a great skater.
Oh,
great
yeah.
at the limbo. I don't know. I mean, really good at the limbo. I was fucking up, flexible.
Bro. I think yeah, it's you. I'm good.
No, nobody's here. I'm good. Your camera's real, real shitty.
On my side, I'm good, but you're looking fucked up. You know
that's how I am.
I got mad bandwidth, kid. I got that bandwidth. You know what I mean? People ask, hey, ask what people ask about me when they say, who got that bandwidth? What do they say?
They say you got Jeff mad got bandwidth. Bandwidth.
Some people do. Some people say he got all the bandwidth.
Yeah.
All of it. Bandwidth. Bands.
I want. Why has there never been a band named Bandwidth?
All right, you guys ready? San Antonio! We welcome Bandwidth!
Just a bunch of nerds in a band. We are Bandwidth!
Thank you, Milwaukee. We are Bandwidth. I had this. You know what I did for a little while? I was so fucking hungry after the Gabriel Iglesias tour ended.
Mm-hmm.
I was so hungry for getting on stage and fucking getting better. That I used to do this Tuesday night show. This amazing downstairs like lounge, speakeasy style lounge. Ricky Martin bumped me one day because he filmed a video down there.
Yeah.
But It's called Harvell's. There's one in Santa Monica. There's one in Long Beach, and it's fucking dope, dude. It's one of the best rooms in the fucking country downstairs. And I had a show there on Tuesdays, bro. And I had a 40-50 person crowd every week almost.
Mm.
Sometimes I'd have Long Beach stuff would jump in with me and promote, so I'd get like 100, and then other times I'd get like 30. But either way, I always had a bunch of people. And goddamn.
From the show that you had kicked off?
I did.
You were running it yourself?
Yeah. So I was so hungry. Yeah, every Tuesday I had my show. Well, on the weekends they had bands. They had like acts and stuff, right? Like musical acts and things. So in between, I said to the owner, hey, man, can I just come in here on Friday and Saturday and do time in between the acts? I'll just go up cold in between bands while they're doing their thing back there for 20 minutes, but I'll fucking do stand up on the box.
That's a great idea. There's a
box on the left of the stage. Bro, I was going in fucking every Friday and Saturday, dude. I started getting so much stage time because I was always like, dude, put me up in between all your shit. And I would just go in there and fucking start doing crowd work and talking shit, and then everybody be in the back and slowly move to the front.
Well, you could do it because you're high energy.
Right before I moved to Indy. Well, yeah. Right before, I didn't go bonkers, but I definitely grabbed the room up.
See, you're but one.
I was right before I moved to Indy.
That's a great thing to talk about because in comedy, there's a real place for that. Like, you can make a lot of money traveling with a band, And but there's only a few. I mean, not very many comedians can do it because you got to be funny, but you got to be super high energy and commanding. Like you could do that. Jim Brewer does it.
Collected also.
Jim Brewer does it for Metallica. Like how many people could do well in that spot? Jim Brewer. That's about it. Like he and it's not really like a regular comedy show. It's kind of just getting the crowd pumped up, but then he's also getting laughs. Like, but he just paces in a circle around that stage, just engaging people, talking about old classic fucking time periods of Metallica and shit, and mixing in jokes with it as he just continuously walks in a circle, loud as fuck into the microphone. Like, I was like in awe. Like, even over seeing Metallica, I was like,
you actually saw him do it.
Oh, yeah, here in Indianapolis. I was I was like, oh, this would suck. I mean, the place is wall to walls pre-COVID. And I'm like, I don't know how many tens of thousands of people are in there. I'm like, Jesus, can you imagine going up on that stage? And he fucking held their attention for damn near a half hour, dude. I mean,
it was
incredible.
It's there. No, listen, the combination is there. I look at crowds like a combination to a safe, right? Not everybody can do it. Like some of them are easy. It's 1, 2, 3, right? Some of them a little bit harder. But there's some only a few people can fucking crack. And that's what it is. But I just wanted to go up and I didn't want to go to Hollywood and fucking stand around and go to get up at the Comedy Store.
Right.
Like I wish I did that. I wish I lived in Hollywood and went there all the time and became a regular, but I didn't. I was in Long Beach and Hermosa.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was determined to fucking. And when I got that room and I started making a little bit of money. And then I started doing that middle act shit in between bands, bro. Oh, dude, it was a cordless mic. I got to walk around, be up there. Oh, dude, it was so badass. I loved it.
That is cool.
You know, that's my shit though. Like, I love to be on the spot and just pop up and like, oh, I love it. Like, put me on the spot. Like, I want failure to be a huge option.
Right.
I love it. Like, yeah, come on. And even though I'm like, I don't want to do this. And then when I get up there, it's like, you just fucking.
You don't have any choice then. It's like, I'm in a corner. I got to fight my way out.
Yeah. I never really got a few people like, but I got to show Large that shit one time when we were at the Sopranos Con and the homies from the Sopranos Con, they had like this contest for eating stuff. And, you know, I don't know if I didn't know if Glennie Balls wanted to be in it or not, but I just offered it. I feel like I should apologize to him again for like saying, did he want to do it? Like I told Laura and whoever wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, he ended up, it was a cannoli eating contest and maybe because he's a bigger boy, he didn't want to do it. I just remember saying you want to do it Large, who wants to do it? Like somebody got to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just eating cannolis. But
well, I figured Glennie Balls would be all about it because he used to just sit there and they would film him eating donuts and shit all the time.
Yeah. But I don't know if like a competitive aspect. I can't remember exactly how it went down. But either way, I was hosting the bitch. I was like, dude, I'll host his shit. I look at him and it was like, it was probably 150 people, 100 people in the crowd. And this was like last, I don't know, it was 2019, 2020. No, 2019 for sure. Obviously not 2020. And I was like, I grabbed the mic. I'm like, dude, I'll fucking host this thing, dude. And I started just go, what's up, everybody? It's Sopranos Con. And I just started fucking rocking, right? Started talking about the contest. And I was doing fucking commentary as it happened. And I was cracking jokes and shit about I was mixing all the old characters in with people. And Large, he gave me the coolest shout out. Like a couple of days later, already was like, this motherfucker, we would have died up there. He goes, this dude took the mic and took the fuck over this whole contest. He goes, have nothing to say up there because I would be like, right, Large? I'd set Large up so he'd be safe stuff, you know?
Right.
But otherwise, I just manhandled it and just give me this, bro. Give me this.
That's awesome.
And just fucking rocked it real quick and then popped off, dude. It was awesome.
I'm trying to think if I've ever done anything like that. I don't think so. Like MC'd a huge thing.
I got one
like
even
that.
Worse. I got worse. I got one worse than everything I've already told you. You don't have anything, but you know you're different though. You were in a different situation. I was way in a different animal in a different.
Yeah.
Dude, in Long Beach, I had the guy, my homie, my really good buddy, which I just came from a cold call. Me calling him up one day, getting his number, and just being like, "Hey, man, let's do some stuff." I just started talking to him. It's called Long Beach Stuff. It's got back then it had 40,000, 50,000 likes on it in Facebook. in like 2014, right?
Right.
15. He had a couple, he had 50K, and I lived in Long Beach, and he was, the page was called Long Beach Stuff. And so I called him up and I was like, I want a way to mark. I was trying to figure out any way to sell that Harvell's room. Like, how can I get people to fucking help me put people in this room? Mm-hmm. So I call him up and we have a call and we just kind of have a great call. He randomly answered. And then we ended up having a meetup and we both had a lazy eye. And then we just hit it off. And I started doing graphic work for him, anything on the side. But then I said, you know, I started doing Man on the Street stuff. If you go to their Facebook, I got some stuff from like 14 or something where I'm doing Man on the Street with long, one of them videos. I run around out there. It's a haunted video where there's like a haunted street. Uh-huh. And I go cover it, do interviews, and I come out running naked and they blurred it. I was in my underwear, but, you know, anyways. And then he had these things on the beach. He had, it's called Movies on the Beach, I think that's just what they call it. But they would have a full setup. They'd have this humongous blow up, pop up video screen, you know, like a projector screen. They had a huge projector. You know, the city probably put money into it. They had these speakers lining the beach. When Jurassic Park played, 3,000 people came to watch.
Oh, nice.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking about the beach in Long Beach. Movies on the Beach, I'm pretty sure that's what they call it. On my Instagram, you can see I have some pictures. So I would fucking, I had like 5 videos with them made. So beforehand, I got it to where we worked out a deal that he would play my 5 videos on the big screen while everybody piled in and got their, you know, they set their blankets out to get ready to watch the movies with the kids.
Right.
And then they would play a couple of my videos. I did everything clean, obviously, because it was a kid's thing too. And then I would stand on a fucking chair and do crowd work. Like a chair, bro. There would be like 2,000 people scattered at the beach. And I had speakers all the way to the back and a cordless mic. So, and there was a big screen behind me, bro. And I just stood up on the chair and just did crowd work, bro. Wow. And just started hitting people. I did it every single one of them. I did like fucking maybe, I did it 3 times a week sometimes.
Oh, wow.
All through the summer, 3 or 4 times a week, I'd be out there. I'd get free cheeseburgers and shit from the snack bar, you know. But then I would just play my videos and I'd go stand up on a chair and fucking just do, you can't do material. There was kids everywhere.
Right.
It was a kid family thing. That's what they
had to keep the kids engaged. Yeah,
because they had a list of all the movies that were going to be playing every night, which movies were playing on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like Jurassic Park had 3,000 or 4,000 motherfuckers there. And I just sit up on the chair, do some crowd work for 20 minutes and just talk funny shit and make fun of people's teams. And I'd go up and be like, all right, guys, anybody that's got a USC chair, go ahead and throw that in the trash and just sit in the sand, please. Or whatever, right? Like, that's how I would kick it off. You know what I mean? If you got any Raiders, a lot of some, you know, corny ass regular shit. Please, if you're a big fan of the Raiders, don't fight nobody. It's a family event. We just want to watch a little bit of Jurassic Park. Go home. You know, I'd say stupid shit like that. But Jesus Christ, it was so fun, bro. I was in Long Beach. Dude, I fucking hustled. That was right before Indy. I wasn't making no money, though. I had a lot of awesome shit popping, but I was getting no dough.
Right. I know one time I got, I mean, it's nothing on that level or anything, but just talk about kind of in the moment compromising positions or going outside of your comfort zone. One time at Morty's Comedy Joint, we had a Christmas party scheduled for these little kids, and there was supposed to be a Santa Claus. And it come time, you know, for the thing to start, and we got like, I don't know, 80 kids in there, 80 screaming kids with their parents. And no Santa Claus. The Santa Claus didn't show up. He was a no-show, you know, no call, no show. And I was like, fuck. I'm looking at Avery, the GM. He's looking at me like, which one of us is going to be Santa Claus? And he's like, I got to run the back of the house. And I was like, all right, give me the fucking suit. So I go in there and I have to be, I probably had pictures on it on Instagram or something, but I had to be Santa Claus for like 40 minutes for these little kids.
Let's give us a ho, 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 Todd. Come on, man.
Ho, 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 ho. I had a decent ho, ho, ho. I just broke it down from here we go. Kind of, you know, ho, ho, ho.
Oh,
oh,
man.
But I remember I'm like, there's also a lot of parents in here. So the comedian in me was like, I also want to keep the parents, you know, entertained. So I would try to slide in little jokes here and there. Like, so I remember like one of the little kids, I'm like, oh, what's your favorite food? Like when he came up to, and he was like, I like Chick-fil-A. And I was like, oh, Santa loves Chick-fil-A. Not their politics, but the chicken. And so the parents would laugh, you know?
Oh, that's so funny, dude. What a great inside gig.
It ended up being a blast, but I was like, how the fuck am I going to be Santa Claus? I don't remember all the reindeer.
Oh, I love that, dude. You know what else I did? I mean, I'm not going to get into it crazy, but I also, that guy, he also ran the Easter fucking costume contest. So I got there. He paid me $300 to fucking show up, gave me a microphone, and then they did a fashion show.
Oh,
a little kid costume fashion show. So it was in the park, bro. It was at a park in Long Beach, and I go out there, and he's like, "Yeah, just do a fashion show, bro."
Oh, like, my God. You're the master of ceremonies for little kids' fashion
show. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay. So he comes up, and I go, all right, here we go. We got little Johnny here in a police outfit. He's obviously working city streets. You can tell he's got quite the beat. You know what I mean? And then I just did it for like fucking 20 kids, dude.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And the parents were loving it because I can't remember all the shit, but right. That in that same level where you were like twisting it up, throwing little funny shit for the parents to
get. Yeah, because you feel obligated to, right?
Yeah, they're all out there watching, but I'm like, dude, I'll fucking do anything for $300. And he was like, dude, I'll give you $300 if you come just MC this shit.
Nice.
And then, you know, and I was just like, I'm in, bro. $300, dude? Are you kidding me?
Oh, let's do this. I love the things that you find yourself into, like, because of comedy, you know? Like, there's all this peripheral shit that you send up. I've hosted some live auctions. Like,
yeah.
And like my sister's charity, those live auctions last sometimes like an hour and a half. Like we had to do that comedy show afterward. You and Bowers came and did it with me one time. Rich Reagan's has gone and done. And by the time I was done with the live auction, I didn't hardly have a voice left because I got to be funny the whole time for like an hour and a half while I'm taking bids on shit. But I love the challenge of all that shit, man. It's like not in your comfort zone. You know what I mean? You're like challenging yourself. It's like putting your back against the wall. Like, all right, here we go. I'm going to walk out at the end of the diving board at the high dive. And there's no not going because everybody's on the ladder now behind me. Now I got to go.
Were you a high dive kid?
I was, but I remember the very first time going off the high dive, I was scared shitless. And that's how I got up. I was like, I just have to, because I don't like heights, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just have to like not look around, just look straight ahead of me, look at the ladder, just climb up there. Because I know once I'm up there, I won't be able to back out.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be all these kids behind me.
Well, also, it's a very embarrassing. If you can't be, if you're a little bitch, you got to walk back off the diving board, the high dive.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yikes.
I was scared shitless, bro. I mean, I was a little kid, but I fucking
did it.
And barely tall enough to go on the high dive, too. Like, I think they gave me an inch to let me go. And I was like, oh, fuck.
High dive was my shit, bro.
Were you a good diver? Did you pike and all that shit?
I could do a 1.5. I could do nice floating, like slow back flips. I could do, sometimes I could pop off a 2, you know, 1.5 back dive.
Yeah.
You know, just I could always flip.
Yeah.
And do that shit. But yeah, no, that was the high dive was actually, it's when you look back at it, you're like, you learn a lot from the kids. It almost should be a research project where like they have an app where you can like log little kids that are beasts on the high dive.
Uh-huh.
And then just let it live and then see where they are in 25 years.
You right. Know what I
mean? Because
they're little daredevils.
Yeah, so. they're willing. It's about risk, right? Taking risks, whether it might be personally, business, whatever, your life in general, like calculated, mostly safe, but there's still a chance of not safe. You know what I mean? A lot of ways to get hurt.
Yeah, and usually like your super daredevil kids, like me going up in the country, like first kid to ever jump off the Geneva Bridge, blah blah blah, all shit like that. Like,
yeah,
they always end up in prison. Like they're like,
yeah,
dude, it's crazy. Whoever
the first little kid in your neighborhood is to jump off that bridge, definitely go to jail.
Yeah. All right, brother, this has been a good one.
Yes, sir.
A lot of shit popping off. Everybody just know. Do we announce it or are we announced on the next one? Is it official now?
It's official, I'd say.
Official.
Yeah, it's official.
Go ahead and tell them.
Guys, we are now teamed up with American Cornhole League. We are part of the ACL. We will be at all the major events. We're probably going to be at most of their shit on CBS as well. Mm. We're full commentary, and we got our own courts. We're doing our own thing. We just kind of made up our own niche, and we have it's a great thing with them, and we're now officially partners.
It's exciting because they have a lot of fucking cool ideas, and I just I can't wait to see I'm assuming they'll all come to fruition. Yep. It just takes a little time to get it all coordinated, but we're fucking down, and they're such cool people that are down for anything. They're going to be so much fun. You guys are going to love it. You're going to love it, just like we love it.
Yeah, get the ACL app on your phone right now if you could. Just do it, because the ACL app.
We're getting our own channel on there.
We'll have our own channel within the American Cornhole League app. You'll be able to scroll to the Guns Blazing, basically cornholes, we're going to call it. Guns Blazing Podcast, Cornhole.
Yeah.
And then that's just our stream of stuff and content.
I think it's only $4.99. I subscribed to it a while back. Yeah. Like, literally, like, go ahead and do it. If you like cornhole, go ahead and do it, because I watch the fuck out of shit on there. Like, it's really good. And now we're going to get our own channel, so we're going to have original content on there as well. Like, just get ahead of the game.
And there's a chance you could play us. And I'm going to be honest, you're going to lose. But sure, that doesn't matter. We're going to be coming, you know, we got a lot happening. If you let, Cornhole's blowing up. There's fucking humongous, they're buying multi-million-dollar facilities all over the U.S. So get on board. It's just legit. And we're part of it now.
Yes, thankful. We're very thankful for all you guys that stick with us, because without you, we don't get these opportunities. No. So we love you guys. Keep spreading the word. Rate and review. Do whatever you got to do.
Hit the YouTube. We're doing good at the YouTube, but we need more, homies.
Yeah. If all of you that listen to this would also subscribe to our YouTube channel like right now, it would just make me cry. So please, if you got time and you're a YouTube consumer, do that, because we spend a lot of time and effort on it. But anyway, we love you guys, and I love you, Sean. And you, this has been an awesome ride, and I can't wait to see where it goes from here.
Yes, sir.